Welcome to the College Football Bros. I'm Michael Newman.
And I'm Trey Newman.
Okay, we are recording this episode a week early. Trey and I are on vacation, just the two of us up in LA. No, we got the whole family.
Bros getaway.
And so if any big news is broken, obviously we are unaware. But in this episode, we are going to go over the coordinator carousel, give our thoughts on some of the best hires, most interesting hires, what have you, our favorite ones. And I'll get us started with...
I think I know where you're
100%
going.
No.
I know where you're going.
Andy Kotelniki.
Yes.
Going from Kansas to Penn State, offensive coordinator, runs a very creative and fun offense. Just did a ton with not very much recruiting talent, at least. And they were just... Kansas had a legit top 10 offense the past couple of years, and they succeeded. It wasn't just getting lucky on a quarterback, because, yeah, they were great with Jalen Daniels in there, but they were also great with Jason Bean in there. So yeah. It just really showed that I think it was the coordinator and just the scheme getting it done for them. So for Penn State, that is huge. That is, you know, they've had the defense settled, offense the last few years. It's just kind of not been there, especially in the biggest games. So I'm hoping for Penn State's sake that, you know, this is what gets them over the hump.
Yeah, hopefully he can unlock Drew Aller in that offense. Like, I think just nationally, Michael, we know you like him and I do too, but I think this had to be like one of the top hires. Like, because you're,
yeah,
like you said, if they had an offense to match that defense, at least somewhat, like they'd be in the thick of it the last few years. But all right, I'm going to go next with, I don't know, I don't think like nationally well known, but College Football World, Blake Baker.
Okay.
LSU's defensive coordinator, because their defense has not really been up to their standards recently. They were second worst in scoring defense and total defense in the SEC last year. And they need a defense to match the offensive production that they've had for Brian Kelly. And they need it in order to kind of compete for SEC titles, national titles. And Baker comes from Missouri. He did an incredible job there. The year before he got there, they were 105th, and then they've had a top 25 national defense the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, that was a good hire, and LSU better hope that they have a better defense, because of course they're losing Jaden Daniels, and they're also losing offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock to Notre Dame. So that's my next hire that I like. I mean, yeah, Denbrock just led the best offense in college football at LSU. Had, you know, the Heisman winning quarterback who had one of the greatest seasons of all time. And before that, did a great job at Cincinnati with Desmond Ridder. So Notre Dame, you know, kind of like Penn State, offense has just been a little bit lackluster, relatively speaking. And
yeah,
hopefully Denbrock can solve that, along with Riley Leonard. I think that is a good match if Leonard, you know, can get healthy and be the guy.
Yeah, because he's got some of the dual threat capability that kind of Jaden Daniels had.
Not the
same guy, but somewhat
same
similar.
Guy.
Yeah, eerily similar. All right. So this next guy is, I don't think it's like the most important hire, but I just think it was what the craziest one was, Chip Kelly. We've talked about, it's just a huge move going from a head coach, what was going to be a Big Ten UCLA program, to go into an offensive coordinator. And the reason I say it's not like a huge, and I'm just saying that I'm pretty confident that, you know, Ryan Day and Ohio State were going to have still a pretty good offense. I know they took a dip last year, but it's not like I lost all faith in Day to coach a good offense. But Chip Kelly, a new fresh mind there. He had some good offenses at UCLA, specifically really good rush offenses. So that could help Ohio State this year with guys like Trevion Henderson. And it'll be interesting to see how they use Will Howard. Like, he might not be a guy that's going to throw 50 times a game. So, you know, Day just needed a bolt in the team, and I think this will help.
Yeah, I mean, hiring his former mentor, I just think they'll work well together, and Day can... He can trust Chip Kelly. Like, he's going to do, you know, what he wants. So, okay, next one. This is an important hire. Like you say, Ohio State offense, I wasn't too worried about them no matter who they hired.
Yeah.
I was worried about the USC defense, still am, but slightly less with hiring Danton Lynn from UCLA. And so it's not, I mean, Danton Lynn itself is, I think, a good hire because he has NFL pedigree. He was hired, I believe he was the safeties coach for the Ravens when he was hired to UCLA. It seems like hiring an assistant for the Ravens usually works out well. But,
exactly.
And it worked out incredibly well for UCLA. Their defense had been
so
pitiful
this year
before he got there. And then it was great. They jumped from, let's see, I think it was 79th to 6th in ESPN's efficiency metric. Just a crazy jump. So, and Danton Lynn's got the pedigree. His dad is Anthony Lynn. So, I just think it's the hire makes a lot of sense. And it's not just hiring him. USC, I mean, they hired Matt Entz, the head coach from North Dakota State, who was previously their defensive coordinator. That is a great hire. He's their linebackers coach now. They hired Doug Belk, I believe his name is. At one time thought of really highly as a defense coordinator at Houston, kind of, you know, dropped off a little bit, but he's USC's, I want to say, I'm a fake fan apparently here. I believe he's their safeties coach, some sort of defensive backs coach. So they've just got defensive line coach, Eric Henderson. He was the Rams D-line coach, and he has immediately made some huge waves on the recruiting trail, getting a couple, you know, five-star defensive linemen committed. So the staff is, I think, light years better than last year. The Jimmys and the Joes, you know, right now, I don't think are light years better. So it might take some time, but I think it's heading the right direction.
No, that's the thing. It's not just like one new voice. It's like the whole defensive staff is going to get, there's complete new energy on that side. And they really needed that. They had to hit reset there. So that's good. All right. I'm going to go with, I'm intrigued to see Eric Bieniemy. He's going to UCLA. This is just kind of a wild card UCLA itself is kind of a wild card with Deshaun Foster and transitioning conferences. But for Bieniemy, like if you followed his story in the NFL the last few years, you've kind of wondered if he was finally going to get an NFL head coaching job, kind of interviewed, never got a gig, finally decided to go somewhere else. He went to the Commanders this past year, getting out of Andy Reid's shadow at the Chiefs for the last few years. But now we kind of know, like, he's going to get the full keys to an offense, but at the college level. So I don't know what to expect, but he's obviously well-respected offensively.
Yeah, it's an interesting hire, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one that I think it's a shame that it has taken us this long to get to, because I think this is a really good hire to pair with their new head coach. Joe Rossi, Michigan State defensive coordinator, hired from Minnesota, overall had a great tenure there. Some really good defenses. I had a couple that were not so great, but you know, personnel wise, that was understandable. And they really had, you know, for a couple of years there, become the strength of the team with PJ Fleck offense slipping. So Michigan State pairing Jonathan Smith and his offense with Joe Rossi on defense, they've got a really good coaching staff.
Hear you there. I'm going to go Colin Klein, Texas A&M's new offensive coordinator. I just think it's pretty good that the Aggies were able to get him away from his alma mater, Kansas State. So that's good for Mike Elko. And because K-State, they had a top 10 scoring offense last year. The Aggies offense, we've known, hasn't been all that great recently. So I think a fresh start for both sides could lead to better things. Might be able to get the most out of Connor Wigman like he did Will Howard.
Yeah, it seems like a solid hire for sure. Okay, next up, a name that, well, I don't know. I guess just because Boise's been, you know, hasn't been at their peak lately, I feel like we haven't heard this name a ton, but Andy Avalos just got fired there, and TCU has hired him as their defensive coordinator. I think this is a really good hire because I never worry too much about what if a head coach, and I wouldn't say Avalos failed, but he just wasn't, the best, but I don't worry too much if a great coordinator fails as a head coach and then returns back to being a coordinator. You just kind of expect them to pick up where they left off, unless it's been a long time that they've, you know, since they've been in that position. But that's not the case for Avalos. He was the DC at Oregon for a couple years under, well, I think they were both under Cristobal. Maybe one was under Taggart. I don't remember. Maybe they were both under Taggart for all. No, Taggart was only there.
He was
there
in
a year.
And out.
Yeah, he was only there a year, so. Anyway, And then he was also before that Boise State's defensive coordinator. So, and did a great job. I think it's a solid get for TCU.
Yep. I'm going to say Wink Martindale, Michigan, their defensive coordinator. I think it's a good hire after losing a guy like Jesse Minter. He comes from, like, again, Michael, an old Raven, comes from the John Harbaugh tree. He worked with the Ravens for 10 years, been at the Giants the last couple of years, but he's a proven pro defensive coordinator. I think that should get him the respect out of the Michigan players. And I feel like it's good for a good hire for Sherrone Moore because he's a first time head coach, obviously more on the offensive side. So I think he needed a guy that could be independent and have the players trust. So we'll see how it works out for Michigan overall, but I think it's a good hire.
All right. Kane Womack, Alabama defensive coordinator. Well, co. They also hired, co with Maurice Linguist, both good hires.
Yeah.
Maurice Linguist was the head coach at Buffalo previously. Kane Womack was the head coach at South Alabama. So I think he did a great job at Indiana when a few years ago when he was their defensive coordinator. And then, you know, was not that, again, the head coaching track record matters too much, but was doing just fine at South Alabama as head coach. But you get a big pay bump to go up and be a defensive coordinator in the SEC. So I think for Kalen DeBoer, obviously he is focused on the offense. He needs someone that, or two people apparently, that he can just trust to run the defense. And I think he's got two capable guys.
Yep. I'm going to go Jeff Collins, North Carolina's defensive coordinator. So he was head coach Georgia Tech and Temple recently. But prior to that, this is kind of crazy. So I knew he was a defensive coordinator, but he was a successful defensive coordinator at FIU, Mississippi State, and Florida. He was nominated for the Broyles Award at all three stops. Like, that's pretty impressive. It's not like he had this one-hit wonder.
He killed it. Like, killed it.
That's pretty remarkable. So, and North Carolina, really, they need a new voice on defense. Like, Gene Chizik was not working. So I just think this is a big upgrade for them. I would expect to see the Tar Heels make a jump defensively for Mack Brown.
Yeah, hard not to. It is weird. Like, you hear them hiring Jeff Collins, and you're like, really, Mack Brown? You're hiring another retread? Because Chizik, of course, Chizik was... had been out of the game much not been a defense coordinator for much longer than Jeff Collins, but when you hear that hire, it's like you look at that track record and hard to argue with it. This is the last guy I have on my list here. Elijah Robinson going from Texas A&M. He was their defensive line coach, now the Syracuse defensive coordinator, known as one of the best recruiters in college football. Not sure how he'll fare as a coordinator, but just getting the best recruiter when you're Syracuse is a win.
Yeah. All right. Well, one we've got to bring up then is Bobby Petrino back at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Just amazing that he's back there, given how everything that transpired there at the end of his run. But, you know, Sam Pittman, he's coaching for his job this year. I think this is a good hire. And as we know from Petrino himself now, like, he wasn't given the full keys to the kingdom under Jimbo Fisher last year. So I don't think the results of that offense didn't all fall on his shoulders.
And the offense did get better. It wasn't as good as he wanted it to be, but yeah.
Yeah. Because I still think he has a great offensive mind. Now the tough part is he's going to be inheriting an offense that wasn't all that great, and they lose KJ Jefferson, but I still like the hire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's offensive mind and offensive mind.
Arguably. Very offensive.
All right. Not funny, Michael. So I guess, unfortunately, we have to end the episode there, unless you have any other guys on your list. That's all I had.
Jake Spavital went to Baylor.
Uh-huh. From Cal.
He did well at Cal last year, and he's got a good, you know, history of coaches he's worked under.
And they've got...
Holgerson. And
they got...
They got Daquan Finn.
Yeah, Daquan Finn. From Toledo.
Sounds like there's a quarterback battle there, but yeah, they got the Mac most valuable player or whatever. So we'll see. I mean, Aranda needs a turnaround.
Yeah. Big year for him. Cool. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the College Football Bros. If you want to predict Trey's golf score, you can hit us up on Twitter at CFB Bros, or you can, if you're a patron, patreon.com/collegefootballbros, post in the Discord. Let's see, Trey, I'm thinking you're going to shoot a, I'm putting the over under at.
You realize I have two kids now, so the golf game is a little rusty.
All right, I'll bump it up a couple strokes then. Let's see. I'm going to put the over under at, do I go this high? I'm going to go 77 and a half. What are you taking?
We'll tune in next week.
What do you think? Do you think I said
that's, I might have just said, yeah, that's probably fair. I might have said 78 flat, but yeah.
Well, okay. I feel like that's a pretty good number then. All right. So yeah. What are you setting my over under at?
98 and a half.
No way. No, I'm not breaking 100. No way. Hopefully. I hope so, but we'll see. All right. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.